So there's going to be two different texts that I'm going to teach on today. The first one's going to be found in Matthew 6, verse 33. And this is the primary text. And this is one of my favorite verses, and you've probably heard me say it many, many times in the past. So if y'all would turn to Matthew 6, verse 33 this morning. And while you're turning there, I want to kind of paint a little picture for you. Who here likes college football? I know Roy does. I'm kind of getting into it a little bit. I watched the Notre Dame game some yesterday. And I want you to, for a minute, just picture this scene. Imagine that it's the first Sunday of college football, which was recent. First Sunday of the season. Fans are all gathered together to watch their favorite team play. It's usually tens of thousands packing in a stadium. And at that time, we know that there are teams that have gone out and selected players. They've been training. They've spent countless hours preparing for this game, for the opening game. Imagine that with me for a minute. Imagine the amount of money that's been spent to prepare for that opening game. Think of one of the big Ivy League schools, and you get to picture how much effort and time and money and resource has been put into that one game.
A lot.
A lot. Well, the teams come together and the coin's tossed. The teams are lined up. The referees are ready. But there's one thing missing. The football. The football. You see, anything you attempt can be worthless if you forget the most important thing. And today that's what I want to spend some time talking about. If you look at Matthew 6, verse 33, would somebody read that?
But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Amen. Amen. So that's really the focus today that I want to spend some time on. Seeking first the kingdom of God. I think sometimes we lose our passion. And we're not seeking first the kingdom of God. We're seeking everything around us and forget to put that first in our life. It's like that first game and the football's missing. We do all these things and all these efforts, but what really matters is the one thing we're missing in our life. Now, Jesus actually spent some time telling us about what's most important now in the book of Luke, chapter 12. So if y'all would turn to Luke 12, and we're going to look at a pretty long passage, and I'm going to read this for time's sake, and it's verses 15 through 34. So Luke 12, verse 15 through 34. Let me go ahead and read this. And this is Jesus talking. Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Reminds me of today where our house gets full, and so what do? We go and buy a bigger house to put our stuff in so we can get more stuff, right? Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, yep. And there I will store my surplus of grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool.'" And by the way, "you fool" is a very tough word in the Bible. That is a serious thing. "This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Then he goes on in verse 22. He says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what your body, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. I think a lot of times we forget the single thing that matters most in life, that lasts forever, that never decays, it never gets stolen. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. And what if there was a lost treasure that could bring you perfect love, fulfill every longing of your heart? It could satisfy you completely. It would never run out. It would change the lives of those around you and be the most important thing in the world. Well, that treasure, my friends, is the kingdom of heaven. And that alone can fulfill all of those things in your life if you pursue God. For most, it's forgotten. It's never experienced. Never experienced. Hardly noticed. And you ask yourself, how could this happen? How could people go through life without finding this? Some have never entered the kingdom. You know, this man in Luke 12, if you read this passage, this parable, it's obviously a fictitious person, but it's so many of us today at the same time. He thought that the life that he lived was purely around material world. That's all there was. That we had to pursue things in the material world to be satisfied. There are millions of people in the world today just like him. I was just like him. There are times even today where I'm like, wait a minute, I'm that man in Luke 12. I'm pursuing the wrong things in my life. My priorities are not right. And yet I know better. I know what the kingdom of God is like. I know where my treasure should be. And yet I pursue the treasures of this world. You know, many of us have been distracted from that one important thing in our life. I learned about a disease called tinnitus. Anybody heard of it? It's a disease that causes constant ringing in the ears. Sometimes it's so loud that it's almost all that one can hear. Now, my mom wears hearing aids, and I've walked up to her before, and you get too close, and it does feedback, and you hear this horrible meek. And it doesn't faze her at all. And I'm like, how can she hear a word I'm saying if that's what's going on in her ears all the time? There are many things in this world that cause what I call spiritual tinnitus as well. Love of power and reputation. The love of pleasure. Love of material possessions. And the noise of busyness and activity. I think we've all been there, huh? I know I've been there too many times. Well, all these noises in our life drown out that still voice of God, that still quiet voice. Hours and even days go by, and you never look at or think about or give yourself to the most important thing in the world, the only thing that matters and lasts, and that's the kingdom of God. Today, I want to encourage each of us to reevaluate our priorities in life and what we're focused on and where we're going, because it's too easy to get caught up. You know, we were talking earlier, Roy and I, about he was listening to Pastor Chan, and he was talking about how in third world countries, people come to Christ a lot easier than they do here in the U.S. It's like, well, why is that? They don't have the distractions that we have here. They're not self-reliant like we are here. And so we get caught up in this world and we become less and less focused on God, and our priorities change, and it's no longer the kingdom is our priority. And that's a problem. In Matthew 13:22, Jesus, there's a parallel of what we're talking about here. Jesus was given another parable, and he said the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. I'm a living testimony to that. There are times where I allow the distractions of this life, I allow my job, my responsibilities to trump everything else. I'm not saying we ditch our responsibilities and we ditch our jobs. I'm saying that there's got to be a balance in our life. What's most important? What's going to last? What are you going to take with you beyond this life? Isn't that worth focusing on more? Let me talk a little bit about the dilemma with this man that we hear about in Luke 12. Obviously, we see that he's focused on the material world, right? That seems to be his main focus. I want more and more and more. It's obvious that the material world can never satisfy him. And that is a trap that many people fall in today. Once you begin to possess things, and you get to see, hey, if I make more money, I can possess more things. It becomes this vicious cycle where you're never satisfied. You're always pursuing more and more and more. And I've seen people live in this trap, and they're miserable. They're miserable. This stuff will never satisfy you. In fact, it's going to rob you from the one thing that you're really seeking in life. The kingdom. It's going to rob you of that pursuit. Jesus talks an awful lot about wealth in the Bible and you know, how it's okay to have things. It's okay to have money. But when that becomes your passion, when that becomes your pursuit, when that becomes all you do is your focus in life, you're going to miss out on the greatest thing in the world, and that's the kingdom of God. I have lived this life. I have lived it, and I can tell you right now that none of those things ever satisfied. They did for a short time, and then again, it's like, no, I don't like this anymore. I want to get the next best thing.
Everybody after the new iPhone.
The new iPhone. But that's the world we live in, that things are going to somehow make us feel better about ourselves. Things are going to somehow help us out in life. But I'll tell you right now, there comes a point in time where, just like this man in Luke 12, one day your life's over and you're going to face your Creator. You say, well, what have you stored up in the kingdom of heaven? You're going to come with empty hands. I want to talk about how we find passion and reprioritize our life. The first question I want to ask each of you today is, what is your passion? You don't have to answer, that's a rhetorical question. But it's something for you to think about. What is my passion? Am I passionate about things of God? Am I passionate about serving in His kingdom? Or am I passionate about this world and the material things? And am I passionate about the politics going on right now? Because I can tell you, I'm not. I try and tune it out. And I'll tell you why. Because God's in control. I serve a king that's not of this world. Donald Trump is not my king. Nobody's my king but God Himself. Yes, I live in this country and I respect those that have been put in authority. But that's not who I serve ultimately. I serve God, the Creator. And so I want to get involved. I want to make change. I want to make positive changes. I want to focus on things that God would want me to focus on, but I want to seek first the kingdom of God and not allow those things to draw me in and suck me into taking me away from that relationship with God and focusing on God. It's so easy to do. You know, I catch myself getting sucked into Facebook, getting sucked into TV. You know, things that are just pointless or mindless. I got on Facebook years ago because I wanted to connect with friends and family, and I wanted to see what people were up to. And now it's become a political platform. And everybody's got an opinion of this or opinion of that, and I see people attacking each other and just chewing each other up, and even Christians doing it. And it just makes me sick now. I look at it and go, I don't want to see that stuff. And so, you know, I try and use it as a platform for me to share the gospel, for me to give people hope, for me to encourage people, build them up. And I applaud those who do that as well, because it is encouraging to see somebody posting something positive on there, right? And then you look at it and you go, okay, is that your passion? Are you so concerned about what's going on in Washington, D.C. that you're gonna forget about God, you're going to forget about the kingdom, and you're going to just start slicing people up with words? That's not what we're called to do. So I want to ask you again, what is your passion? Are you passionate about getting into the Word of God? Are you passionate about your prayer life? Are you passionate about being in church and being with others in the community of God? Because I'll tell you what, this is where encouragement comes from. If you're alone out there, you're not involved in a community of believers, you're not getting encouraged, you're not getting prayed for, you're not getting the things you need to help you focus on the right things.
It is a different kind of support system.
So let me share something with you. I work with a company I've been with for many years now. I've gotten to know a lot of the people there really well. And the support I get from them is not the kind of support I would get from a church. Their worldview is not the same worldview I have, and their advice is not the advice I would give to somebody else a lot of times.
I run into a lot of that too where I'm at.
Yeah.
It's interesting the way things happen around
here. Right. And it's interesting with work, too. I mean, people know I'm a pastor, and yet they forget that sometimes, and they say things that are very disrespectful. And sometimes I'm like, hey, I love you, but no, we're not gonna go that direction with me. I'm sorry. And so I'm very careful about allowing their advice to influence me, because it's worldly advice. It's advice just like this man would probably give about go build another barn, get more crops, push them all in there, go eat, drink, be merry, and you're retired. We're talking about this today. As a Christian, there's no such thing as retirement. Did you know that? Retirement happens the day you hit the grave. We may retire from our current career, but God has never called us to just sit back and relax. There's always something He's called us to do in this life, to share with others. Even as elders, we are called to train up the younger generation on the way to go. There's never a complete retirement. Our Sabbath rest comes one day. Cindy and I talk about this all the time, that, you know, we have a plan that in a few years, you know, our target is 5 years. We want to have enough saved up where we can quit the jobs we're at and go do something more purposeful in the kingdom of God. Go work for a 501c3 or something, take a major pay cut, and be able to be okay. That's our passion. That's what we want to do. But we'll never probably retire. We'll just be doing something different, right? I want to encourage us today. We need to be praying that the kingdom would come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bless you. It's so easy to get out of that. I get discouraged when I look around me outside of this place. I get discouraged when I go into meetings and see lost souls. I get discouraged when I see the news. I get discouraged when I hear about these mass shootings all over the place. When I see people just talking blasphemy towards God and are proud of it. That's the world we live in. And it can bring you down, and you can lose your passion. You can forget that we are here to be different. We are here to seek the kingdom of God of all things. And I'm telling you, if work is taking you from that, if there's anything in your life that is taking you off that focus, it's time to really evaluate yourself. And that goes for me too. I'm not up here preaching to you saying that you should do this and not me. I'm the first one that should be doing this, right? And so I want to encourage each of us today that if you have lost your passion, you are not seeking the kingdom of God first. It's time to reevaluate. One of the beautiful things about this text is that it yields radical rewards. In that text, it says, in all these things is not some things, but all things. It literally means that everything that you need will be added. And I'm talking about the Matthew 6:33.
That should give you comfort, though, because you know that if you're going in the right direction, you need not worry about anything other than
That's right.
follow where you're going.
That's Jesus' whole point, right? That God is going to take care of your needs. He said, seek the kingdom of God. Why are you worrying about all these other things and not focusing on God? Those things are worthless, is what Jesus is saying. God knows you. God loves you. God cares about you. God's going to provide everything you need in this life so that you can focus on the thing that matters the most, and that's the kingdom of heaven. We will be added in the case that it's a fact. It's God saying, I will give these things to you. I will take care of your needs. It's a fact. It's a promise. God has promised that he will give the riches of his kingdom. And it says to you. To you. That means it's personal. It's not a blanket statement. Read that text and see if it doesn't speak directly to you. See if the Holy Spirit doesn't just confirm with you that that is God speaking, that he's going to give these things to you.
But then the next thought you have is, do you trust me enough?
Do you trust you enough?
No, do you trust the Lord?
Oh, do you trust the Lord? Absolutely. It's a trust issue. Absolutely.
Do you trust him enough to believe in what he says?
I like my control. It's kind of fun playing God sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately it's a struggle, right?
Absolutely. It is a struggle. It's absolutely a struggle. And that's why I think it's so important that we do spend time in the Word, because you can look at all the promises God made throughout Scripture and how he delivered on those promises. Most important one for all of us in this room was the promise of the Messiah, to die on a cross and take away our sins and to be a mediator for us on our behalf. The Bible is full of God's promises, and the Bible would be junk if those promises weren't fulfilled, and every one of them are, and that's what gives me hope. That's how I know that I can stand on God's word and know that he said this, he promised this, and therefore that I can trust. Gives me a good reason to want to seek him, right? Who else in this world can make such promises and be able to keep them?
Not me, and that's for sure.
Right.
I don't know how many times just in the last 2 years I've been promised this, promised that, and it all goes by the wayside.
And I've been in your shoes. I've been promised promotions. I've been promised that this is going to happen. I'm going to get a pay raise. And then 2 weeks later find out, well,
that guy's gone.
Yeah, that's really not going to take place. But I can trust that God is going to take care of my every need. I have living proof of that. I see people like Megan Elmore in Zambia and how God's just constantly taking care of her needs there. I can see my friend Pastor McDonald, who I communicate with all the time, how, you know, their needs are basic. I need a new toilet. You know what toilet is there? It's a hole in the ground with a roof. God provides. I need a new pig to feed my family. God provides.
But when you think about those kind of things coming from the situation that you're coming from and seeing the availability to all those things come so easy.
Yeah.
And then to have them make those requests and have them be a struggle for them
right.
in those situations, it seems like, how can it be that difficult when
yeah.
you're looking at it from your point of view?
Right. It's, you know, one of the things that I've always talked to people about is writing a journal, a prayer journal. If you're having problems believing that God's going to take care of every need you have, I want to encourage you to start a journal. Write down the times where God has answered a prayer, where you were in need of something and all of a sudden it appeared, where, you know, maybe it's a friend that was in that situation, where they were in this desperate need, you prayed, and then all of a sudden God provided for that need. Write them down. Write the dates. Write exactly what you prayed for, how God responded. Because in those times where you are in that struggle of, can I really trust that God's going to do this for me? I want to be in control. You pull that journal open and you begin to read. You say, wow, God answered that prayer. God answered this prayer. God provided this. God provided that. God. And I did that with my own life when I was going through a really bad struggle in my time. I've told you my story where I had nothing. I was about to lose my house. Everything's gone. And God kept showing up and providing little at a time, little at a time. And I always got through. I always got through. I always trusted God. And I could go back and read those things and just say, wow, God is good. I can really trust Him with my problems. I know He's going to take care of every need I have.
It makes it hard not to want to follow.
It does. It does. I mean, I felt like this was the word God gave me for you guys today. And I don't know if any of you are struggling in this area. I know I personally am at times where I'm not seeking the kingdom of God like I should. You're like, whoa, you're the pastor. Pastors go through struggles too. And there are times, guys, where this world just comes crashing in on you. There's so many problems and distractions and things. And you know what? If we push all that aside, take the time to seek first the kingdom of God. Those problems won't go away, but they'll be a whole lot easier to deal with. Do you get that? There are too many times where I allow those problems to drag me down and I forget to say, whoa, I need to seek God first. I need to make that my priority, because if that's my priority, these problems can come and I know God's in them with me and I'm going to get through them.
Well, you always go to the Bible and you say, what does God say about my situation?
Yeah. I want to end with a story that I want to read to you guys. I thought this was really good. Anybody know what a widget is?
Yeah, it's a thing that a company makes.
Is it? Have you ever bought one?
I don't understand.
Anybody own a widget? Anybody ever have a widget? It is a term we use in business often to refer to a fictitious product.
Yeah.
For you younger ones that have probably not been through this, a widget. You've heard of a widget spinner or a fidget spinner. I call them a widget spinner.
Mr. Spacely makes them.
Right. Mr. Spacely makes widgets. So they're things that you cannot buy at the store. You cannot buy online. But it is a term that we use in business often. So there once was a man who collected these widgets. And he bought them from all over the world. I guess he had an Amazon account where he could get widgets. He became known as the greatest widget collector in history. Greatest widget collector. I would love to see that place sometime. Articles were written about him. His house could not contain all the widgets he had collected, and so he built a massive widget museum. You can go see this museum in Wisconsin, by the way. I'm just kidding. One day, the man died. A long obituary contained the story of his widget passion. But on the other side of the grave, the man stood before his creator with empty hands. He realized that all of this time and energy and money purchased nothing for the billions of years of eternity. All this wisdom or widget fascination had yielded not a single eternal result. Anything is worthless if you've missed the most important thing. So let's not be that person.
That's why widgets don't exist.
That's why we just don't exist. Well, again, today and through this week, I hope this sinks in and that you continue to ask yourself, what is my passion? What am I passionate about? If you're not passionate about the important thing in life, the kingdom of God, I want to encourage you to stop and pray and ask God to give you that passion. That's the first thing we should always do if we're missing that, because that is the thing in life that we need the most. And yet we forget to put it in our list of top priorities. So today I want to encourage you with that you would find passion, that God would give you the passion and the courage and the strength to put these things aside, focus on Him first, and the things that He's called you to do. Let me go ahead and pray.